ESPN Sports Business Reporter Kristy Dosh joining us in the zone today to talk about the financial impact of the Razorbacks' unfortunate loss Saturday at War Memorial Stadium. Kristy, welcome into the zone. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you didn't ask us how we were doing, because I think you could probably figure that out.
Still feeling a little hungover from the loss.
Oh, it's been the longest 2 days of most of our lives, but that's okay. Check Kristy out, kristydosh.com. It's D-O-S-H on Twitter as well, sportsbizmiss, if you are interested in her writing. And I came across a story you wrote about the Hogs' costly loss. And when you look at these types of things, and I know you've talked to other administrators over the years in a situation like this, what kinds of things do you take into account, and what kind of impact can it have?
Well, the first thing I thought about, you know, everybody always thinks about what kind of impact is it going to have on the athletic department financially? You know, is it going to hurt ticket sales or contributions or that sort of thing? So I actually took a look back at Michigan's loss to Appalachian State to take a look and see, did they see any sort of impact from that? And best I can tell, they really didn't. Their revenue for football was down a little the following year, but that was more the result of having one less home game that following year. I called and I talked to Michigan. I asked their director of communications, you know, how they felt about that loss in terms of the financial impact. And he said, you know, the loss obviously has that immediate emotional sting, but there was no financial loss for them. So I started thinking about other ways this might impact Arkansas. And I just finished writing a book about the business of college football. And the last chapter of the book is about how athletics can impact academics, both in negative and positive ways. And several different studies I looked at in that chapter had found that finishing in the top 10 or the top 20 of the AP poll at the end of the season can have tremendous impact on the number of applications you get and the number of students who subsequently enroll in the school. And that is big money for a university.
What about enrollment? I know that was something you mentioned in the article that you wrote on ESPN.com, how that impacts or does it after something like this.
So what this study showed was that, you know, applications tend to go up when you have a good season, and that can do one of two things. It can either increase enrollment if the school feels like they have, you know, the infrastructure for that. Do they have enough dorm rooms? Do they have enough professors, or can they hire more? Some schools decide to be more selective. A case study I did in the book was University of Florida, and if you look back at their national championships, they got so many more applications, and instead of enrolling more students, they actually decided to become more selective. And they have freshman classes now that have much higher GPAs, much higher SAT scores. The other way to go with that is to increase enrollment, and that's where you would see the monetary difference. So the study that I had read, actually a couple of them, found that enrollment tends to increase by a little over 4% if you can finish in the top 10 of the AP poll. And obviously, going into last weekend, the Razorbacks were number 8. So I took a look at that number. I looked at the number of students that they enrolled last fall, because that was the most up-to-date data that they had. You know, I looked at how many students are generally resident versus non-resident, because that makes a big difference financially, and found that they might be missing out on about $9.6 million next year. Then if you followed those students through school and they stayed for 4 years, you know, we're talking something more like $27 to $30 million. So it could be a huge loss.
This is not good news. Kristy Dosh joining us in the zone, ESPN Sports Business Reporter on the Revolution Hotline. I was going to ask you about game day specifically, too. We're all extremely disappointed, and I don't know that I've ever seen the game day guys do this, but they basically said on Twitter following the loss, "You had us. I mean, we were coming to Fayetteville. You blew it." I'm paraphrasing. It was very disappointing. We love having game day. When they came for the Tennessee game a couple of years ago, it was a great, great deal for the Razorback fan base. Any financial impact directly from that? Because there's so many promotional announcements, and it's such a big happening.
Sounds like there might be, you know, this is not something to my knowledge that ESPN has studied or ever made any sort of comment on, so I just want to clarify this isn't coming from my position at ESPN, but I had the chance last weekend to meet with Eric Hyman, who's Texas A&M's athletic director. You know, obviously they just had game day this past weekend, and he just came from South Carolina, and he and I were talking about game day and, you know, how great it was for them to have that sort of exposure. And he said, you know, a few years ago at South Carolina, we commissioned a study about game day. We were curious what sort of publicity value having game day on campus gives us. And they found that it was worth about $5 million in publicity. And most schools don't have $5 million sitting around to run national TV ads. So being on game day could have a profound impact on a school.
Let me shift gears for just a moment, if I can, and ask about. We didn't talk about this in advance, so I don't even know if you're following this very closely. But the NFL referee deal has been somewhat of interest to us, and I guess the bottom line is through the first week or so, is that they've done a pretty good job, which certainly does not strengthen the position of the NFL referees who are locked out right now. Being an attorney and then also someone who follows the business side of it, what are your thoughts on all that? And do you anticipate anything happening in the near future?
It's not something that I've followed very closely. I've obviously read the headlines and read stories here and there. My understanding of labor law, which was not my practice area, I will preface this with that. Mm-hmm. I know just enough to be dangerous, probably. But I think that labor law still offers a lot of protection for the referees who are currently locked out. So I don't expect that, you know, that this issue isn't going to be resolved and that we're going to continue with these fill-ins forever. I still think that the referees, have a strong position, not saying that it's stronger than the NFL's position, but certainly those talks are still ongoing, and there's no reason to believe that a resolution won't be reached at some point.
Christy, let me ask you about the book, and you mentioned it already, the college book, which is entitled Saturday Millionaires, While College Athletes Will Never Be Paid and Other Untold Truths About the Business of College Football. Lengthiest name. But a very interesting topic. So tell me about the book and what kinds of things we can get from this when it comes out next year.
So I just finished up the book about a month ago, and I'm going through the editing process now, which is loads of fun. But I'm excited about it finally coming out. It covers a whole host of business issues in college football. And I got the idea for the book because I was a practicing attorney until about a year ago. I did some sports business reporting on the side and was very interested in it. But I started off just being a fan. I went to law school at University of Florida. I was there when Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow were there. I became a big college football fan, bigger than I already was going into school there. And when I started working as a reporter and started analyzing the business side, I realized how much I didn't know. And I started sort of noting things that were interesting that the average fan didn't know. And those were things I was sharing with people on Twitter. And I found people want to know, and there's just nowhere to go to get that kind of information. And I was really lucky last year to be able to go to a different football game every single weekend. I went to small schools like Tulsa. I went to big schools like Ohio State. And I learned so much from the meetings I had with athletic directors and other administrators. And so the book is my way of, letting college football fans in on that. Not many people are going to have the opportunity to sit down with that many athletic directors at such a diverse group of schools. And I want to share what I learned. So, it's budgets. It's why it's difficult to come up with a plan to pay players. Like I said before, there's a chapter about how football can impact academics. So sort of covers everything on the business side.
And we're looking at late summer, fall release, is that right, for next year?
It is definitely going to be in July. I don't have the exact date, but I believe it will be right before SEC Media Days.
Okay, good. Well, that's a good time. We'll have to get you on again before that for sure. Christy,
I want to tell your listeners, too, because I didn't say it when we were talking about Arkansas, but it's not all bad news. The good news is Michigan was actually able to recover. They had 8 straight wins after that loss to Appalachian State. They finished the season ranked number 18 in the AP poll, and they saw no negative impact with their applications or their enrollment. So just want to say don't lose hope yet.
There you go. We're not, for sure. Christy, we appreciate it very much. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for the insight.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Christy Dosh on the Revolution Hotline. And again, follow her on Twitter. It's SportsBizMiss is her handle. And then Christy Dosh, it's DOSH.com if you want to find out more about what she's up to.